Good morning. Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We appreciate all of you for tuning into the show. Today is Sunday, December 11, 2016. I'm Dan Hansen. With Christmas fast approaching, we thought that today would be a good time to talk about an issue many atheists have to deal with, relatives, and ways to deal with and avoid conflict with them over the holidays. Joining me today in the studio is one of the other members of the Unholy Ghostbusters, Hertzie. Welcome.
Good morning, Dan.
And our special guest this hour is Cindy Nelson. Cindy is a bilingual psychotherapist who's worked for social service agencies since 2005 and is here to give us some expert opinion. Welcome, Cindy.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to stay tuned for the American Atheist Viewpoint in the fourth segment of the hour. We welcome listener interaction during our live show with your phone calls to 952-946-6205 or your emails to radio@mnatheist.org. You can find links and program archives on the Minnesota Atheist website. And now let's get down to the topic at hand. The holidays are stressful for a lot of people, and for a lot of reasons, but I feel like many atheists have an extra set of concerns that believers don't. It can be kind of tricky to walk, a tricky walk for unbelievers to make. Being friends with Christmas often can seem to create issues with both Christians and non-Christians. I'm kind of wondering about experiences that the people in the studio have had, and others of you out there. Hertzie, have you had any kind of issues with Christmas in general as an atheist?
At home, no. I'm extremely fortunate and rare in the fact that most of my that pretty much my entire family is atheist, and we do some Christmas.
Lucky.
I know. But at work, there have been, because I'm a very big proponent about having a secular traditions and, mm-hmm. you know, saying instead of Christmas, let's say holidays. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of known as a little bit of a humbug.
do you dislike Christmas?
I am on... There are things I like about Christmas and there are things I don't. Like, mm-hmm. For example, I am actually the organizer of the Secret Santa in the office because I love gift giving. You know, right. For me, it's learning something new about somebody, trying to figure out their personality. That's what I like. I like the cookies and some of that. But some of the decorations and stuff, I think people go a little overboard.
So your issues would be less with your family than maybe like I don't know if your company does a holiday party or anything like that. I mean, that's something you can kind of avoid too. You can just stand off in the corner and just kind of...
Yeah, we've finally changed the name to End of the Year Banquet, but there's a lot of people who are still like, oh, it's a Christmas party. And I'm like, guys, all we need is one person who's like, I don't do this for religious reasons, and the whole thing falls apart. Why don't we just do it now?
Right. I've been pretty lucky, too. My family is religious, but they're very understanding, and we really don't have a lot of problems with it. I guess that makes me a fortunate person, because I know that isn't the case for everybody. Cindy, what about you? Your personal experiences? You're an atheist, correct?
I am an atheist, sure. And I was born and raised Mormon. I've been out for about 9 years. So my family is pretty used to me not participating in the religious stuff. I'm not out to everybody in my family about being an atheist. But they're, in general, there's an understanding that we just don't talk about certain things.
Right.
And I have had to lay down some boundaries in the past, like, hey, I'd love to talk to you about this, but not right now. Or just to say, I'm not really interested in this.
Has it gotten easier for you over time, do you think? Or,
has. I mean, I think in the beginning, after I first left church involvement, people still thought that I might want to have conversations about it. I think they just had to learn on an individual basis, you know, that Cindy doesn't really want to talk about it anymore.
Right, right. There are, of course, as you sort of touched on, there are people that are out and there are people that aren't. That's a decision that we all have to personally make, of course, because there are some people whose families will not be accepting of it. And, everyone says, well, you know, the two things you're not supposed to talk about is politics and religion at the dinner table or around the, you know, the Christmas tree or whatever, but it always seems to come up. What are the difficulties you might see about either of those positions, if, you know, deciding to come out or not deciding to come out?
Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, it's really personal. As far as my family, I've been pretty lucky. Most people are used to me doing things that are different, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I know that certain people in my family can handle that information without being judgmental. I'm not sure about everybody, so not everybody knows. Mm-hmm. You know, to come out or to not come out, you just kind of have to weigh, you know, the benefits and the risks of
right.
it.
I suppose if you're a 17-year-old still living at home,
that might be too big of a risk, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. You still need to count on your family to take care of you. And if they're, you know, if you have an inclination that they're not going to be accepting or welcoming to you, then that would be too much of a risk.
Right. Sure. And but there are also penalties or drawbacks for not coming out, of course, because you're not really being honest with your family then, these people that you love and you care about.
Mm-hmm.
I know that for a long time, I didn't want to come out because of that very fact. I knew it would hurt my family. Some of them would feel very bad. Some of them still do. And so there is that aspect also, isn't there?
Yes. So that that aspect of self-identity is really important. I work with a lot of people who are coming out of fundamental religion in my work. And that issue of identity is super important. For example, you leave, you know, your congregation and most people lose their community as well.
Right.
And so then, you know, the individual who comes out of that community is left with, well, how do I relate to the world now? Mm-hmm. Who do I relate to? How do they relate to me? And how can we continue those relationships? Not all the time those relationships can be continued, unfortunately.
Right.
Yeah, that is one thing I like about the Minnesota Atheist community is we do have, I wouldn't say a substitute necessarily. It's not the exact same, but we do try to foster in the idea of doing things together and working together and such. And we even have our own holiday traditions that we'll probably touch on in our 1225 episode.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it should be noted too that there's always a lot of fear in coming out or in these, having to possibly deal with these issues at Christmas, especially, you know, trying to, I think there's also though, a lot of people are kind of surprised by how well their family does take it. Not everybody in those families. But for me, I know that there's also some kind of, there's a good aspect in knowing that my family does accept me, like you were saying, with how I identify. And that can be empowering also.
For sure. Yeah. Right. I did have some difficult conversations in the beginning with some people in my family. You know, I had somebody tell me, you know, I'm not happy about this. And actually, it makes me really sad. But, you know, you're my sister. I love
you.
Tough. And I will always support you. It's a hard conversation for both sides.
Right. So, we're talking about family specifically right now, but we did touch briefly also on employers. You know, in Minnesota, in America, Christmas is everywhere. And there is this...
Really? Because I thought it was like this hidden little thing that was like really hard to find.
Right. And it is everywhere. And it's, I guess, you know, there are these aspects of it that certain people have more problems with too. I probably had more issues with some of it when I first came out years ago than I do now. I've probably mellowed a bit on some of it, and also realizing that, you know, a lot of it is secular in nature. It is, you know, kind of everywhere in our society, and it is difficult to feel included sometimes.
Yeah, and there's also, I feel, sometimes age difference. For example, a lot of the people who push harder for the, oh, it's a Christmas party, just say the word, tend to be those who are older, who it's like Christmas is so much of a normalized for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and I, to a point, it's normalized for me as well. I'm 33, so just in that early millennial area. But I think for a lot of us, for some millennials at least, it's the question of, well, what about somebody else? Mm-hmm. You know, just because I do this thing doesn't mean that somebody else does this thing. And we need to be an equal opportunity employer.
Mm-hmm. So when we're out and about, let's say that it's still it's still kind of fresh. It's still a little bit raw, right? You know, you're possibly an atheist who's come out recently, and you might still be frustrated and angry and feel like, you know, you've been lied to, or there's all this baggage that you're still dealing with. I think that Christmas is a harder holiday because of that. What would might be some suggestions in dealing with it as a general idea, like you're just day to day, as we see every single commercial and every single, you know, person we talk to, every time you go to the checkout line, some, you know, it's like, oh, somebody's going to say Christmas or you know.
For at least commercials, Netflix.
Netflix.
No commercials.
right.
Yeah, and you can, I know a lot of people that kind of just stay off Facebook, for example, or social media. I know there's some, you know, you can...
Is that an option nowadays? Oh, I suppose.
You know, some of the smaller retail establishments around town might not be as Christmassy or Jesus-y at this time of year. I know I have a second job at a retail establishment, and we're not playing Christmas music 24/7, and that is super helpful.
You don't like Christmas music?
I like some of it in a nostalgic kind of way, but not thrown at me all of the time.
It gets annoying.
It is very annoying.
Sure.
With the choirs of children. And,
right.
Yes, the jingle bells.
All right. Well, please stay with us through the break. You are listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We're happy to have you here today, and I'm feeling very lucky to have guests here, considering how unbelievably terrible the roads were on our way out here. So thank you again, and we'll see you right after the break.
Listen to A Woman's Place every weekend on AM 950 to hear about progressive issues from a woman's perspective. Coming up this week, Jean Ronayne, the executive director of the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault, will talk about an astonishing top issue in the presidential race. Listen every week to A Woman's Place, where all issues are women's issues. Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Podcast anytime at am950radio.com.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly. Plus, our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers. With scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from, it's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
There are those that say that the recent severe storms are God's judgment. There are those that say humans are causing climate change. Humanists know that knowledge of our world comes from observation, experimentation, and rational analysis, not from reading horoscopes or old writings. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find meeting times and locations and more at humanistsofmn.org. Like us at Facebook, too, or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm Dan Hansen, and today we're talking about Christmas and dealing with those religious relatives almost all of us have, and just the holiday in general. If you have a comment or a question, please call us at 952-946-6205, or send an email to radio at mnatheist.org. Cindy and Hertzy, welcome back.
Thank you, Dan.
So where were we when we left off? We were talking about conflict, or we were talking about dealing with friends and family over Christmas season. And I thought that maybe now we could move into like some of the conflict management part of it, because there is almost always going to be some conflict sometime. It's almost unavoidable.
Especially this year.
Yeah, this is a really tough year. I think the things we're going to be discussing, you know, these ideas or ways to deal with it aren't just atheist related. They're also political and kind of cross a lot of different areas.
It's Star Wars versus Star Trek. That can be a big one.
Some of us don't care. So, and that's an issue for some other people.
I was going to say that actually technically I was raised with both, so.
Yeah. I was raised with neither, so that's probably why. But anyways, so when you come up to this idea of having a hard conversation, what is the process that we might go through to decide, okay, I want to have this hard conversation now, or I think I'm going to delay it. Mm-hmm. I think I need to wait. What is that process?
Could you help me? And that's something that you can put a lot of thought into before you get together with family members at gatherings.
Okay.
And again, weighing the risks and benefits. If you're going to be vacationing with the family and you're this small subset of atheist.
Snowbound
might not be the best time, but also this is going to be a particularly difficult year. And, if it's not possible in the moment to delay that conversation, you kind of just have to be open to that possibility that might happen. Mm-hmm. However, you can kind of plan for how you would hope things would go before you actually get into that situation.
So kind of run it through in your head ahead of time. I mean, these are people you probably know, your mm-hmm. Uncle Joe or your Aunt Sue or your whatever. And they're like, okay, they're aggressive. And they're going to be going this way. I can almost hear in my head what they might say. So is that something you would do? Is like okay, these are what they're going to say? Or is that setting us up for a problem in putting words in their mouth before they talk?
Not necessarily. I mean, we are individuals. We are people of habit, for sure. Mm-hmm. And, I think religious habits and ways of looking at the world are particularly concrete for some people, hard to change. So it's, if you can kind of run through those scenarios in your head beforehand and know what the possibility might be, it's not that you're attributing, a characteristic to this person.
Okay.
It might help you prepare to have a response and to have a really, even keel, hopefully not emotional response. Mm-hmm. To say, you can either come back with, some of your own kind of evidence that you've learned about, whatever the topic is, mm-hmm. and to say, I just don't believe that anymore. And this is why. You can keep it short. But to keep that, some of that emotion out of it, I know that's really hard sometimes,
right.
But that can really keep things from escalating if you do have those kind of family members around who are more aggressive.
And I would suppose that, at least validating maybe their viewpoint to some, at least saying, I see where you're coming from or.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know, if you have come out of a religion, you can kind of use that to your advantage to say like, yeah, I see that is really important to you. And I understand that because I came from the same place. However, I moved to a different place. And so it's not as important to me right now. And to have that timing, if no one's kind of really attacking, but being aggressive mm-hmm. at this time of year, to think about the timing of when and if you want to have a conversation with people. I can't speak for everybody, but I can't imagine that having a conversation around the dinner table would be a great idea.
Right.
Unless, I'm kind of envisioning in my head, you know, like you're one of a few maybe atheists in your family. Mm-hmm. I'm one of my entire family. So that might not be a good idea. However, in your family hurts you, that might be an awesome idea. Or if you have, you know, more people on your side who can kind of back you up. There's a lot of pressure when you're in a group of people and they're all thinking exactly opposite of you. That can be a lot of pressure.
Right.
Yeah, taking person one at a time might be a better strategy.
I would recommend that at least at first, mm-hmm. Till you get used to having that difficult conversation and seeing the themes that might come up.
Maybe starting out with some of the relatives or that you think might be a little bit more open.
Absolutely.
So that you can...
It took the words right out of my mouth.
Right. Have a little bit of an ally. So if it gets in here, it's like, well, you know, this,
Uncle Joe really loves NASA, so he might be a little more open-minded.
Right, right. He's never really pushed this before. There has to be some sort of issue with delaying all these hard conversations too long, too, isn't there? Because it feels like it builds up. It did for me, to be honest.
For sure. You know, I think in general, when we delay those hard conversations because they're uncomfortable, that can turn into a long-term dysfunction, which is not what we want to have either. So it's really striking a balance and kind of checking in with yourself about knowing what you feel comfortable sharing and when, and to kind of start with people that you might have more success with to give you more confidence to have those kind of conversations.
One question I have, and especially this is kind of this year's, a lot of people are having family members who are more emboldened about certain topics. Would you say, like, what is a good way to talk to someone and to set some boundaries to say, listen, I know we have some disagreements on this, and this. Can we just not talk about these this year?
Mm-hmm. Well, you could say something like that, like you just said. That would be awesome. Kind of, I think a good way to approach people is to say, you know, like, we are all in a family together, and as a whole, you know, we are a great system together. But in order to have a system that works really well, each person in the family needs to be taken care of and understood and respected. I absolutely can respect that you think this way and you feel this way about it. But I would hope that you could also have that same understanding and respect for me. That might be kind of a gentle way to say, nope, not going to talk about it. Please understand me. Or if you can't understand me, at least give me the slack.
Boundaries are a normal thing, and it's not wrong to ask for them.
Absolutely not.
Right. No. The hard noser of me is one of those where it's like, if I had something I really didn't want to talk about, I'd actually be like, okay, so here's the contract.
Right.
This is what we're not going to talk about. We're going to sign it.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's tough, though. If things aren't going well and, you know, things are escalating, I know that's an issue I have. You know, I take the bait pretty easily sometimes, and I don't think I'm alone in that. So I appreciate Cindy your observations on this, and I really hope that this might be being some help to some of the people that are out there. We have a break coming up here,
be sure to check out the Facebook page.
Yes. Please stay with us throughout the break. You are listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
Make the connection. I'm Lori Fitz, host of Connections Radio Show, talking about ideas that matter. Join me and my guests as we reflect on a wide range of topics that challenge us to see ourselves, our community, and the world around us in ways that get us thinking, connected, and perhaps inspired or challenged to do just a bit more because we made the connection. Be a part of our conversation Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We humans arrive on our planet knowing nothing. In our first 2 years, we learn how to clothe and feed ourselves, as well as the basics of communication. Humanists know that knowledge of our world is derived by observation, experimentation, and rational analysis. The Humanists of Minnesota are a group of humanists, agnostics, atheists, freethinkers, and others interested in finding rational and science-based solutions to our problems. Find our meetup group, meeting topics, book clubs, newsletters, and other activities at our website, humanistsofmn.org. Like us on Facebook or call us at 651-335-3800. The responsibility for our world is ours and ours alone.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers, here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Peter Lee. Not as cold today, snow in the morning, and then a chance of snow in the afternoon, accumulations of 1 to 2 more inches, highs in the mid-20s, northeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Colder Monday, partly cloudy in the morning, and then more snow in the afternoon. Just north of 50th and France in Edina, the Great Wall has been providing delicious taste of authentic Chinese since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, and offering one of the most extensive Chinese menus in the Twin Cities. More information at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Okay, welcome back to Atheist Talk on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Once again, I'm Dan Hansen, and I'm joined in the studio here by Hertzie and Cindy. I'm going to take a very quick break here because one of the things that I think can help atheists as they approach the season is to create their own new traditions, you know. Not everybody wants to watch Miracle on 34th Street because it's... I can't listen to that sappy little...
Or It's a Wonderful Life.
Or, yeah, maybe that's not your thing. So, Hertzie, you have maybe an option for starting a new holiday tradition?
Yes, it is coming up next week is our annual solstice dinner. We have a wonderful guest of Greta Christina with a wonderful menu of steak with artichoke and spinach sauce.
Awesome.
Steak with, I believe, a mushroom sauce. Or for our vegan and gluten-free friends, we have a stuffed bell pepper that sounds wonderful.
Excellent.
If you'd like more information, please check out the website, minnesotaatheist.org.
Excellent. I know I'll be there. Looking forward to it. Mm. We have a caller on line one, I believe, Steve from Shoreview. Steve, do you have a question or a comment for Cindy or for us?
Well, I have a comment, and particularly listening to the last segment. In my family, I grew up Catholic, and... Kids in the Catholic family are always the center of attention during when they would say grace before a meal.
Right.
And as I grew out of the Catholic tradition, I kind of thought, well, I just can't sit through this prayer anymore and keep silent.
Yep.
So I told my mother over 20 years ago, I said, yeah, Christmas and Easter, I'm just not going to do that because... either I'm going to laugh during the prayer or I'm going to have to say my own prayer, which neither one's going to go over good.
Right.
And she said, well, you know, we really don't do the Christmas religious thing. Or she didn't really look at Christmas and Easter as religious. She said, why don't you go ahead and come and don't worry about the prayer.
Hmm.
And because I had lots of siblings with lots of kids, it wasn't practical anymore to have a sit-down, organized beginning. It changed to a buffet style. The prayer went away, and nobody even knew.
Wow.
And I just thought that was...
That's kind of great.
It was an accommodation that I really couldn't disagree with, so
right.
I kept coming to the holiday meals. And
how long...
My family was one of tolerance, so I really appreciated that.
Right. I was wondering how long you...
I know it doesn't work for everybody.
I was wondering how long you kind of held back on making that suggestion or that comment to your family. Was that something that you were kind of fearful?
I didn't really... Once I came to the conclusion that I was not religious at all, I just... My family accepted tolerance, so you could not be part of the normal as long as you were comfortable with yourself and you were willing to say, oh, this is who I am. So my family was... I did that relatively quickly after I decided that religion just wasn't part of who I was. But that's the way my family dynamics worked. The atmosphere was okay. Although my mother, I told her this only. I worked with her directly because she was the one that was the organizer. And she just made an accommodation. To this day, I don't think my siblings even know about it.
Wow. Well, thanks for that observation, Steve, and I really appreciate it. Cindy, do you have any comments or thoughts?
Steve, I just wanted to say I think it's great that you were advocating for yourself. You know, it's not an easy time, and you were able to kind of be aware of what you needed and let that be known to somebody who would respond to you, hopefully. And I think it's great that you were advocating for yourself.
Right. So I think we should probably move into a final topic here, probably, and that's kind of managing internal distress. Like you said, this is a stressful time, and for many, not everybody, but managing internal stress, what are some of the ways that we might be able to do that? What does that even mean, managing internal distress?
Sure. And when I talk to people about this... you know, I kind of use the metaphor of a gas tank. You know, when you're having your own internal struggles or you're noticing that you're feeling really emotional, either angry or upset or disappointed, sad, whatever, those kind of things really run down your gas tank.
Okay.
And if you don't have a lot in the tank, you're not going to have reserves, you know, to get you through the rest of the season. If you have something difficult that comes up, you know, you're just... you're not going to have as much energy to deal with the hard things later on. And that might be later on in the day or in the week or in the month.
Right.
So really finding ways that you can fill up your own gas tank. And that is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody loves to go get pedicures, that can be a great way to refill your gas
right.
tank. You know, taking time for yourself, you know, leaving early if you need to, or getting there a little bit late, you know, like if you can possibly, if you need to miss the family prayer and they can let you be late without having to include you, that would be great. Things like that.
Is it okay to, I think a lot of us feel that we feel pressure and obligation all the time in our lives, to be honest.
Sure.
And is it okay just to try to keep this gas tank full just to say no to things, or how do you go about doing that when people are saying, oh, we need you to help out with this fundraiser and we need you.
That is one of my issues.
I was going to say, Hertzie, maybe you want to say something there.
I don't know how much helpful it'll be because I usually say yes. Sometimes when somebody brings up a topic, I don't want to talk about that right now. Actually, I use a similar to your gas tank. I'll tell them that I'm running low on spoons. And my friends know that, you know, it's like, this is how much I have to deal with. And I just don't have the energy or the patience to deal with something else. As far as saying no to fundraisers and stuff. Depends on if I'm organizing or attending. Attending is easier for me to say thank you, but no. If somebody says, you know...
So it's easier to get you to do more than it is less.
Yeah, it is.
I think saying no gets easier with more practice. And sometimes if you don't want to give someone a flat no, you can say, you know, I can't do this fundraiser, but I can come and, you know, I can pay a ticket price. That will be my contribution for this year.
Sure.
That's what I'm able to give this
right.
year.
Yeah, I've been doing classes, and so sometimes that's been my excuse is, you know, my class this semester has been really bad. And usually that's an honest, you know, it's an honest thing of, no, I actually need this time for studying. I just finished, though, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good, you know, you could say, you know, I need to recharge my batteries. I need more spoons, so.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Might have a good way to say that too.
And of course, there are a lot of people out there that suffer from depression, you know, actual clinical depression, things like that. I think that, you know, finding ways to connect with others, I've known people and had some issues with this myself, and it's hard though sometimes to go out and to be social and to do all these things as it is, much less without the added pressures. Do we find people that are like-minded? Do we find people that are similar in thought? I know that's one of the reasons that I first came to Minnesota Atheist. But is that a coping mechanism that's acceptable?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think you touched on something, you know, depression can really, people will tend to isolate sometimes. And if you're needing that connection to help you feel better, you don't want to because you're depressed.
Right,
and
it's
a kind of a bad cycle to be in. So something I talk about with people is to have, you know, a couple trusted friends or loved ones, and to have kind of either a code word or just to say, I'm sending a text because I don't feel okay right now.
Okay.
And to talk about before that happens, like what you might want somebody to help you do or how you might want them to respond, that kind of thing.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah, actually, when I first, after a divorce that I went through almost 4 years ago now, actually I set up friends in the workplace who was like, okay, so if I'm calling you, just pick up. I need somebody to talk to.
Right.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times that's all you really need, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just somebody
sure.
to listen.
Yep. Yeah, somebody, sometimes it can be just, I need to cry on the phone and not talk for 5 minutes with you. And I don't, you can, you know, whatever you need, it will be very individual for each person, but mm-hmm. to just kind of ask yourself what you need and to find a way to
so get what that connection to your like-minded people is something that you kind of create for yourself too.
Absolutely.
Because some people are introverts and some people are extroverts, and that's just a fact, you
and
know,
ambiverts.
Right. And it's, you know, I guess it makes sense that we would tailor those things for ourselves. Connecting doesn't mean I have to go to whatever party or I have to go to this, you know, winter solstice party. You should really think you should. It's going to be great. but you know, if you're an introvert, that might not be your cup of tea. That might not be your thing, right?
No, it could be, you know, just meeting up for a few minutes. It could be, hey, I'm not feeling okay today. Can you come over for mm-hmm. 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And help me do the dishes.
Right. So I think alongside of this is the idea that we don't have to, I mean, we're going to get into this topic more in the future here, but we don't have to, all traditions start someplace. Everything that we think of that people have been doing for thousands of years, a lot of times it's not actually that long. A lot of times it's a lot less, you know?
That's my favorite, is finding out like how long something's been going on and just being like, yeah, that's only like 50 years old.
Yeah, like Christmas trees. It's like, oh yeah, they were probably putting them up, you know, back in Jesus' time. It's like, no,
nope.
No, that's not, I mean, they had evergreens, but anyways. But we can create our own traditions as well. And I think that's probably healthy as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, traditions really kind of mark our lives in certain ways that are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the traditions that I've, with people that I've worked with, have been including the people that are, who are like-minded and, you know, having their own celebration, having their own day that they celebrate, exchanging gifts,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff. You know, just making sure that there's some kind of connection and an activity that can be really remembered with, you know, with good feelings.
Right. And I don't think this is something that anybody has too much of a right to be judgmental about. We talked about the Miracle on 34th Street. Some people watch that every year. It's a huge deal for them.
Oh, yeah. My mom's tradition was watching It's a Wonderful Life every year.
Which drove you crazy?
Drove me nuts.
Right.
I cannot watch it.
Some people it's Die Hard. I don't...
See,
I would
I
probably
could go
not for, do well with that.
I could go for Die Hard. There's been some, I've heard of some new, like, kind of horror-themed Christmas movies that I'm kind of excited about.
Krampus?
Yeah, I love Krampus, and Minnesota has a Krampus group.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you can find them on Facebook, and they do the whole outfit and everything.
You could do the thing with the Minnesota Atheist War on Christmas, which I think has just finished its third year in a row, where we collect, go out and buy in, toys for the children's hospital and donate them. That's a great way to make yourself feel better and a tradition that you can look forward to.
Yeah, I think a great tradition, too, is to, after this holiday season ends, is to continue doing those kind of things.
Oh.
Because help goes away.
Yeah, that's
for a lot of people.
That's a really good point. Well, we've come to our end here. Please stick around, though. Stay with us through the break. You are listening to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I want to thank you both once again for coming in and for our caller, and I'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Dan.
This is Paul Metza, inviting you to listen to my Wall of Power Radio Hour, featuring music, culture, and entertainment, and cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states, every Saturday night from 6 to 7 p.m. on AM 950.
Someday, the high and the mighty will fall. There will be no power brokers, the Wall of Power will fall.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France in Edina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh-baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your Atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Workers Independent News Week in Review. I'm Doug Cunningham. In a major insult to working America, especially working people who voted for him, Donald Trump has chosen fast food CEO Andy Puzder as U.S. Labor Secretary. The National Employment Law Project says it's a sucker punch to the gut of workers. NELP's Christine Owens says it's hard to think of anyone less suited for the job of lifting up America's forgotten workers than Puzder. Owens says he's against raising the minimum wage, threatens to replace restaurant workers with machines, and opposes rules that protect workers. While the Fight for 15 workers movement has each other's backs, Owens says Puzder has his fellow CEOs' backs, even if it breaks the backs of those at the bottom. By federal statute, the purpose of the Labor Department is to foster, promote, and develop the welfare of the wage earners of the U.S. to improve their working conditions and to advance their opportunities. Puzder is against all of that. On Wednesday, National Nurses United joined other activists and U.S. senators and other supporters of Medicare and Social Security to demand hands off those programs, no cuts. And they presented a petition to that effect.
Martha Kuhl is an RN and Secretary Treasurer of National Nurses United.
The petition has over 1 million signatures on it demanding that Trump, Ryan, and Mitch McConnell keep their hands off of our Medicare and our Social Security benefits. Medicare and Social Security are very popular programs, and prior attempts to undo them, privatize them, take them away have met with great resistance, and this is part of that resistance.
312 IAMAW members in St. Louis have been told by the GKN company that their jobs are going to a non-union Alabama plant, but they don't know when. Steve McDermott is president, directing business agent for IAWAW District 837 in St. Louis.
I'm going to try to find everything I can to keep them from leaving, but I don't know if that's going to be possible.
McDermott says that working people are in for a very rough time with anti-worker Republicans taking over government, but a strong resistance will be mounted.
We'll be fighting until the last breath.
Chuck Jones, president of United Steelworkers Local 1999 at the Carrier plant in Indianapolis, says Trump, quote, lied his ass off, end quote, about saving Carrier jobs from being sent to Mexico. Jones says while it is true that some jobs were saved, hundreds more jobs from Carrier are still going to Mexico. And Carrier's parent company is getting $7 million in tax credits from Indiana to add insult to injury to the people of Indiana.
People got false hopes that they were going to keep their jobs, and when all the smoke cleared, 730 of our members are keeping jobs, 550 aren't going to have a job.
Workers Independent News provided by Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
I'm Roberta Fernandez, hypnotist and host of the new show, Minding Your Health, Take Back Control. I'll have guests from traditional and alternative healthcare discussing...
Welcome back, Dave Silverman, president of American Atheists.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, right? We're getting our money's worth out of sending you all over the country to talk to people. All right, so this week, it's that time of year, Dave. It's time for billboards.
I love this time of year.
I think we all do, quite honestly. So we've got billboards in locations all throughout the country. We've got two in South Carolina. We've got two in Virginia. We've got one in Shreveport, Louisiana. We've got one in Colorado Springs. So what's the point? Why do we do this every year, Dave? What's the idea here?
Well, the essential idea, of course, the target market of our billboards is always the press. We always want to do the billboards in such a way that they get picked up by the press and talked about by the press. And the reason is because our true target market of this effort is the closeted atheists in the pews, the closeted atheists who are at home, who feel alone, who don't think that they have any company, who don't think that they have any friends or other atheists around them, and also the believers themselves. We want to increase their visibility of atheists. We want to increase their tolerance of atheists by putting some faces to words. And so we do these billboard campaigns every year to do just that, to raise the awareness of the fact that atheists are everywhere and that atheists don't have to pretend to believe the lies that their parents believed. So these billboards are up all over the place, and yeah, a lot of people sometimes give us, quote, pointers on billboard design because things like, you know, if you look at our billboard about the atheist Christmas, there's a back and forth between a mother and her daughter, and it's in text. And if you're driving by a billboard at 75 miles an hour, you're not going to be able to read that text, but we know that. That text is there for the press. It's all there for the press. So the press can write about it, so the press can get feedback from the local community, and so we can get our billboards complete with our website and the name of our organization out into the airwaves. And I'm really happy to say, Nick, that we have gotten a tremendous response to these billboards, one of which was designed completely by you, by the way. I want to make sure that the people know that you came up with Make Christmas Great Again.
I'm going to get email from people saying, you know, that we're terrible for, and I have gotten email from people saying, how dare you use, you know, Trump's logo, both from people who are Trump supporters and people who are saying that we're in some way, you know, trying to capitalize on Trump's logo, or excuse me, Trump's slogan, and that it diminishes us in some way. This is one of the, it's funny, the billboard you just talked about, the billboard between the kid and one of her friends saying, oh yeah, I'm not going to church anymore, and the mom looking surprised, that was designed almost exclusively for the local press, because we knew that that message of, hey, I'm back from college and I don't believe this stuff anymore and they'll get over it. We knew that would make people freak out in rural Louisiana and in
Colorado Springs and in Lynchburg, yeah. Virginia, where the Liberty University is.
Right, exactly. So, but then the Make Christmas Great Again, I went on Fox News on Fox and Friends on earlier this week and actually yesterday as well. And the only thing they talked about was Make Christmas Great Again. And I thought the funniest question of the whole thing was, when exactly was Christmas great again? And I said to them, well, maybe you should have asked Donald Trump that about when he was running his campaign as well. When precisely was America great again? Great before. But the Make Christmas Great Again thing and the other billboard, it's designed to push a button and get people to stop and say, hey, wait a second, what did that just say? And then they go look in the press and then they see the full message from us, whether that's an interview from one of us or whether that's the full press release, talking about the point of the billboards. And I think people, like what you said, people misunderstand the idea that the billboard is the totality of the message, when in fact what it is it's a way of raising an eyebrow and getting people to look in their local media to see what's going on. And it amplifies, you know, a few hundred thousand people are going to see those billboards driving by. How many million people are going to see us talking about it on Fox News or in their local press? That's the point.
Millions and millions. Yeah. I mean, seriously, we've gotten maybe 20 television reports on the billboard so far, including a few national.
I think it's more than that. I mean, there are, you know, 5 or 6 local news stations in every one of these cities that has contacted us, and we've given either interviews, phone interviews, or on-screen Skype interviews, or, you know, they go and talk to people in the community. So it does get people talking, and that's the entire point of it. The message here that I think people need to understand is that it's not, we get a lot of criticism from people saying, you know, why are you hating on Christians? Why are you targeting Christians? Why are you trying to ruin our holiday or take over our holiday? Come on, guys. We're number one. We're not taking over your holiday. Your holiday has already been taken over to some extent. The most recent number that I saw was that something like 90 or 95% of all Americans celebrate Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Half of all Jews have a Christmas tree in their house.
Yes.
So we're talking about, you know, people who call themselves observant
Jews.
Well, no, they're called people who like Christmas,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And they can do whatever the hell they want. That's the entire point here, that, you know, the stuff that everybody really actually likes and cares about at Christmas, spending time with your family, giving gifts, doing charity, all those things, none of them have anything to do with religion. Certainly none of them are the exclusive domain of Christianity or of religion generally. And that's the message that we're trying to take to people whenever we give an interview. That's the sort of longer version of the message, that it's okay to not be religious. It's okay to be an atheist. And if you like doing the things that come along with Christmas or any of those holidays, keep doing them. Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to believe all the things that, you know, your parents told you and that your pastor told you in order to do the cultural things. But on top of that, you shouldn't keep calling yourself a Christian just because you do the cultural things. We don't still call ourselves Romans despite the fact that we have July and August.
Right.
You know, we're not Norse despite the fact that we still have a
Thursday, yes.
So be honest, be open. Don't hide from the things you believe and don't believe. The more open and honest we can be, the more people coming out and saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't believe this stuff either. But I'm going to still buy a tree and buy gifts for my kids and have a meal with my family. That works to end the stigma that too many atheists.